my left and your right, has some words of guidance on how we conduct our meetings and how we require you to conduct yourselves, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the chairman stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission is shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission's meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending application. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we also ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearing will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there's a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, also does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Our first public hearing is 2017-9, Lewis Shores Estate, Key Properties Group, LLC.
And Mr. Chairman, before this one begins, I'm going to recuse myself from it, so thank you.
This is a major subdivision for the creation of a standard subdivision. The plan proposes to subdivide 81.05 acres, plus or minus, into 61 single-family lots with private roads and open space. The property is located on the west side of Hudson Road, Road 258, north of Eagles Crest Road, in Milton. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 22, Parcel 4. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record are a site plan, a wetlands delineation study, a soil feasibility study, comments from DLDOT, comments from the Public Works Department, comments from the Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the Division of Public Health, DENREC, Division of Groundwater Discharge and Watershed, the Wetlands Division, the Fish and Wildlife Division, the Delaware Electric Co-op, the Fire Marshal, the Department of Agriculture, and I think that's most of the agencies we received comments from. As it did go through our technical advisory committee process, as it is a major subdivision. We would note this is, some of you may recognize this. This is a previous subdivision that did come through once before. It has since expired, so it is now coming back through with meeting today's codes and requirements. We also received one letter, and they more had concerns, and I will read this, that they are unable to attend the public meeting regarding the subdivision. They are very close to the property and familiar with it, and there are valuable, unique upland and low-lying woodlands along the northern and western perimeter of the property and merit protection. In addition, the younger forest that is likely where the entrance from Hudson Road would be located provides air quality and water quality benefits, habitat for our native plants and animals, and noise buffer, and they would recommend that the disturbance of this parcel be limited to the interior, which has already been modified by humans, and the surrounding forest be protected. There is ample space for both homes and the forest with a thoughtful plan, and they recognize the Atlantic white cedar, the healthy oak buffer forest and the young forest along Hudson Road. And then again, they just recommend that any disturbance be located within the previously disturbed lands on the property. And that was from Sarah Cooksley. Thank you.
Is there anyone here representing this application? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Director of Planning, and my name is Ramesh Bhatta, B-A-T-T-A. I am a, just by way of background, I'm a consulting engineer, professional engineer in the state of Delaware, as well as a professional land surveyor in the state of Delaware. As Janelle mentioned that this plan was prepared by us again in 2006. And at that time, it came through your body, Planning and Zoning Commission. It received its approval. But the economy had changed, so the owners who were from Washington, they had dropped it. It sat there for a long time. And recently, about a year ago or so, Key Properties, I have their representative here, they purchased it. They decided to pursue it. And so they came to us. I said, yeah, very familiar with it. So we prepared the plans and entered into a contract with them to do the engineering and stuff like that. So we revised the plan and revisited the wetlands and revisited the floodplain and any other constraints and that we need to pay attention to and any other resources such as forest land and all those things that we need to pay attention to. Anyhow, after revisiting the whole thing and the topography and all that, we came up with a plan. The plan actually, and we got the plan and we went to PLUS with that plan. And they issued the comments, which we seem to have applied to all of them. And all the agencies, whatever they were asking for, we applied. We can handle that. And so far as the quality of water is the big thing, you know, discharging from the site. What we have done these days since that time, rules and regulations of DNRC have changed and are much more stricter, and we have soils, recharge basins, and all those kind of criteria that will not go, polluted waters will not go into the Beaver Dam Creek. And if anything, it'll be much clean. Now, my office had given you a small package of the booklet that I am looking at it. And basically what we are talking about is it's a tax parcel number and the location that Janelle read. It's a piece of property, sensitive area, 81 acres, and we propose 3/4 acre lots. And having sewer and water wells and septic system on site, the entire property has been tested for the septic systems. And we have placed them critically 100 feet away from any water supply sources and stuff like that. And 81 acres yielded us 61 lots. 61 lots, 3/4 acre lots. A density that comes out to be, incidentally, one unit per 3/4 acre, 0.75 per acre. Original application was in 2005, but that's just a way of, we have a buffer from the wetlands 50 feet and 100 year floodplain, we totally stay out of it. And the site plan, talking about the site plan a little bit, site plan is so designed that it provides the private roads. It provides stormwater management on both sides of the road and a sidewalk only on one side. And Deldart is okay with that. And what else we did, we went beyond that. There's a cemetery there, so we protected that completely. And we also provided parking spaces for the visitor of the cemetery to, if they wish to come and use and stay. And bus loop for the school children, we have provided parking for them also, the buses and the people who come there to drop the children. So plan is very well thought of. And so for that comments are concerned, like I said, we have no problem attending to all of them. And in the booklet that you have, I think we have 18 items as per 99.917 criteria for consideration. I can go through them. They offer nothing great here.
As long as you have them in the exhibit booklet, they're part of the record.
Pardon me, sir? Yes.
As long as they're in the booklet, they're part of the record.
Correct,
thank you.
Sir. Rather than wasting time to go over that, they offer nothing special.
Thank you.
We are attending to all of them. I'd be glad to answer anything you wish.
Okay. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. Just stand by.
Thank you, sir.
Let's see. We'll start with Ms. Howie Stevenson.
Yes. Now you're saying the parking for the
Cemetery.
The cemetery.
Yeah.
I got to say, I miss the cemetery. Now that I'm like, you said it, I see it.
The
okay.
cemetery that we need to protect.
Yes.
It is well protected.
Yes, you do. Good. But the parking for the bus stop, is that the little spot up here at the front of
there,
the...
bus stop and few cars to parents who drop the children.
Okay. And you said you had sidewalks. And my other question was, what percentage of the trees were you planning to remove off of this? Do you have any idea? Is it going to clear it?
You should note that all around the perimeter of this thing, there's a 30 feet or so, 25 or 30 feet buffer, that's a treed buffer.
Yes.
And interior-wise, we have 25 acres of open space. We really don't need to cut any trees in the open space. And but where the lots are, we certainly have to cut it. And where the tree roads are proposed, we certainly have to cut it. But there are 25 acres of open space provided here. And where there are no trees, we are at the backing into the existing four homes near the road. We are providing landscaping for that portion.
The four home, the ones in the front?
In the front. And while preparing this plan, due kind of attention was given to almost every detail of this. That code requires, and engineering is required, so water management is required, so we will do that. Now, Delta, in their evaluation of this, have determined that we don't need a TIS. They are considering doing a global in this area TIS. For that, they like to see the contributions made towards their global study, which we have agreed to do.
Okay. That was my next question. Was about the TIS. There you go. Okay. I look to preserve as many trees as we can. So
Of course.
We're not getting as many big trees as we used to. So anything that can be done toward that, I would support. But those are all the questions that I had. You've answered them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hopkins.
Are there any stormwater ponds on here?
There will be a pond, sir, but we will try not to have a pond. We have taken a lot of borings, We actually would enjoy recharging it. That's the only way you can really reduce the runoff from pre to post. And so we'll recharge it wherever we cannot. If there's a possibility we don't recharge all of that excess water, then there'll be a stormwater management pond that will have the settlement in there and stuff, before it discharges to that.
So, where do you think that pond would be?
The lower area towards the at this time, we did some calculations, preliminary calculations of the stormwater, management, and we really didn't need the pond. If it need to be, it will be in the open space someplace in the lower area. The practical thing to do these days, they have changed all those regulations again. The criteria these days is that you don't take the water and make it travel to all the way down there and put it in a pond and all that stuff. Now you collect the water where the source is and try to dissipate right there, around there, by recharging. And so we have been quite successful doing that, and a lot of jobs under that.
So when you say the lower end, I see your the northerly.
Yes, sir.
So is the lower end, you mean if I'm looking at the plans,
yeah,
it would be the side closest to me?
Yes.
On my plans, the lower left?
Lower left, yes.
So it'd kind of be like the northwestern?
Beaver Dam Creek.
Or whatever. So along the edge of the properties or down into the woods?
Near the lots.
Like in this 100-year floodplain area?
Yeah, there are some places, you know, if we have to accommodate that, and we have to move some lot or something, we have space to do that.
May have to like use up some lots for the pond or something.
Might have to.
And so the water from the front would then the storm water that doesn't recharge.
Well, as I said, you know, up front there are swales on both sides, and that soil test showed that we can recharge that into those things near up in there. So we have plenty of opportunity to recharge in between places and soils and stuff like that.
So in your experience,
yes, sir.
When you know the sediment on the roads when the sediment on the roads from the tires or whatever, dust, stuff that sits on the road, when it washes off into the ditch and then that sediment kind of layers into the grass, into the swale, will it still recharge or does that skim layer of
no,
silt
sir.
Have to be taken
that
out?
Sediment will stop the water going down. The intent is that once you stabilize the entire area, during construction you have sediment ponds and stuff like that. So, and to capture the sediment. But once it's all stabilized, then it's green grass and stuff like that. And the water, even by virtue of the fact that it's traveling over the grass, not going into that, there is some sediments are removed and by the grass and stuff like that. But recharge basins are 4 feet deep or so, filled with stone and material up on top. So the material cleans it, it goes through stones and goes under. And underneath there's a pipe, just in case, the perforated pipe, just in case that if the water doesn't go all the way through, the clean water has the ability to go someplace else.
Oh, so the bottom of the swales are going to have a form of a perforated with stone and sand?
Correct.
Like a septic system concept?
Correct, sir. And it might have to travel from one side to the other or, you know, vice versa, depending on the slopes and stuff like that.
Now, is that 100% of the swales or just in places?
Not 100%, okay? You only require certain area to recharge. And,
what again?
Certain area, yeah, to recharge.
So whatever we need, we will use it.
I think that's all I have.
This is the newest thing that DNREC has come up with, so...
Are you able to do sidewalks and swales?
Sorry?
You had said that you were going to have sidewalks on one side of the road. You're able to do sidewalks and swales?
Yes. Been done.
Oh, there you go.
As a matter of fact, some jurisdictions require sidewalk on both sides.
Right.
And swales too.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Hudson?
I have no questions. Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Whitten?
I understand the application again.
So do I. Ms. Wells?
None for me, thank you.
Mr. Whitehouse?
No questions.
Ms. Cornwall?
I just have two things. There was another letter that's actually in opposition and asking it to be denied based on concerns about traffic. and the loss of the wooded area, and that comes from Harold Connor. And we did receive comments from the Mapping and Addressing System Addressing Department, and they will be changing their name to Winsome Landing.
Yes.
From Lewis Shores.
I forgot to say that.
So did I. So the new name will be Winsome Landing. That has been approved. They had to change the name.
Okay, if you'll have a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone has any interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of 2017-9 Lewis Shores Estates? In favor. Is there anyone like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2017-9 Lewis Shores Estate? Yes, sir. Please come forward. Need to state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Don Canisi. I represent my mother-in-law, Nancy Hornick, who lives to the adjacent property. In 1976, they bought a lot, wooded, and they put up an American log cabin in the woods. That was a dream house. And every morning she gets up, she sees a deer out front. What I'm now, you were talking also about a drainage. I would like to know where the drainage pond's going to be, and also the egress to this property. How are you going to get into the property or exit the property? I would like to know that also. I mean, she's been there since 1976. This is her dream house. This is where she wants to live her last days, let's say. And I'm very skeptical of any builder that says, well, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And so I guess I would like to just put a big fat no against this. I'm a sportsman and a hunter also. And that area, it's just teeming with wildlife. Where's all the wildlife going to go? But I would like to know, and I would like somebody to show me this evening where the pond's going to go and where the egress and the exit. And I can show you where she lives. It's butted up against two different lines of this property. And I want to know how close they're going to be to her property. And I want to know where the pond is and how they're going to get in and out of this community.
Okay. We'll find out those answers for you. Just so you know, the entrance is on a Hudson Road.
Right. And that's where my mother-in-law lives, right?
Okay, it's off Hudson Road. I'm going to give you this, my copy, so you'll have it for future reference. And as far as the pond is concerned, that probably won't be determined until the project is either approved, and that goes through the Soil Conservation District when they do the stormwater management approval. So the final site of the pond will not be approved until that time, and that is all dependent upon.
Can I show you the one area that I'm?
You certainly can, if you, yeah.
There's her property right here.
Perfect.
So it's butted against here and against here. All this wooded area in here, all through here, just full of deer and wildlife. And since 1976, this is where her husband just passed away a little over a year ago. And she wants to live here and to her last days. And it's butts that area and this area. And we're really concerned about the quality of life for her due to this.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Brendan Bushy. I live next to Nancy.
Okay.
I don't really want to speak in opposition, I just want to speak. I believe that the only way in and out of that is going to be next to Nancy.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Correct.
In that? You're going to have 60-something homes in there, and you're going to have a very slim way to get in and out. And my concern is very practical. If you had a fire in there, you're going to have a problem. If you had a major thing, you have fire, you have trees, you get wind and it starts to spread. People aren't going to get in and out of there easily. So one way in and one way out is not usually a good idea Just saying. The other thing is, I guess this is our property right there. We're in Hudson. You come around Nancy's. You're coming around that bend. And just on the end of Nancy's and beginning of ours, you have a straightaway. We've had 3 deer killed in front of our house since the beginning of the year, hit on that road. When I have people come visit, I don't let them back out of the driveway onto Hudson because people come around there, especially that curve, at high speeds. And it gets dicey. And if you had one access to that property right on that curve, people are going to die on that curve. That's one of my concerns. As far as the developing back there, people have a right, I guess, to do what they want to do with their property, but it needs to be consistent with the overall good of the community. And I don't think it's a good idea to develop it to the extent where you have foreseeable problems, such as one access. The other thing is, it's a 2-lane road, Hudson, one in each direction. And they started the concerts down at Hudson Fields there, and I don't have a problem with that either. But I can tell you, and that would be more people, but on the nights of the concerts, coming down Hudson, we had a parking lot in front of the road in the house. And if you went, what's on the other side of the airport there? That's
Eagles Crest.
Same thing. So I don't know that those roads are really designed for any great traffic. I know that Hudson, people fly on Hudson. So my concern is just that whatever they do there, they have more than one access. They don't put the single access on a curve, which is one of the most dangerous places on that road. And someone raised the issue of drainage. And I haven't been there. We've only been there since,
what,
4 years? Yeah, 4 or 5 years. But down Hudson, coming further down towards the floor there, you were having runoff a few years back that was causing flooding further down on Hudson. And I think you folks have been doing things to deal with that. But I think if you put in a lot of houses in there, you're going to have potentially other issues with that. I don't know. And the last thing I'd say is if I were in your position on anything, I would restrict one house per acre. So a 3/4 acre lot, I think you're starting to get into more density than you need. It's going to add to the overall population, the overall traffic.
Actually, this works out to one house per 1.35 acres, so it's less than one house per acre.
Is that on the site acres, or you're just taking the overall acreage?
That's the way it's calculated. The 81 acres divided by the 60 homes, and it's 1.35 acres per house
on average.
I would just urge to go one house per acre on the actual acre that the person's going to buy.
In other words, you're advocating a minimum lot size of 1 acre.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
That's it. But I can tell you, we lived in Colorado, and we had development there, and we were in Boulder County, which was, they really tried hard to balance everything. And we had problems where you had limited access in and out of developments. And I'd be curious to see what the fire department agencies like that have to say about it.
Well, DLDOT has control of the entrance. We do not.
You have control of the permit?
I mean, we control whether we approve the subdivision or not, but we do not have control over where the entrance is. The entrance will meet the county road specifications. It's got to have a certain width and blacktopping and all that.
I understand that. I hope, in addition to meeting county specifications, it meets the human needs concerns.
We just redid them, so hopefully they do.
Well, I'd be the first one to come back here if we have a death on the road at that entrance.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition? Yes, sir.
My notes.
I'm sorry, I had some coffee and some vitamins, so I'm a little hyper, but I'll try to breathe deeply.
Okay.
It's good to see you all. I just have a couple questions.
Your name and address.
I'm sorry.
Your
my name?
Name
is Keith Wilhelm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I live on off of Hudson Road. You want my full address?
No, well, if you want to, for the record.
Well, my address is Milton. Yeah. I live off of Hudson Road. At first, I was against coming up here when you said those opposed to the application, because I thought that might stereotype me, and I wasn't supposed to do that when I got up here, so I don't want to be careful about that. So I'm not. At first, I thought I wasn't completely opposed to this application, but at this point, I would probably say that I am in its current proposal, I guess, with the density of the lots of where it was 61 building lots on this property. I couldn't see on the county website, excuse me, where there was a parcel of 81 acres. My question is if this is just one parcel or more than one parcel.
It's one parcel of land.
One parcel of land?
Yep, it's on the screen, everything in yellow. Sorry.
Okay. Is this attached to the internet?
Yeah, this is the county's website.
Okay. So this shows 70 acres.
Well, no, that... Please zoom in.
I'm looking at the...
Yeah, right there.
Information.
Right here, it says 81.05.
Okay. One of the details there is 70.71 acres with improvements. You see that?
Right, that's for something else. So, but the overall property
is... What is that for? What is that for?
You'd have to ask the assessment department. Okay. That is their information.
Okay.
But according to the mapping, the property is over 81 acres.
Thank you. So then the area that is not wetlands is not considered wetlands by DENREC?
They did a wetlands delineation that is shown on the plan.
Okay, and how many acres would there be that are not wetlands? You said the density was 1.33 lots per acre. Or 1.33 acres per lot. But I think that includes wetlands.
It includes the whole parcel.
I'm sorry?
The whole parcel.
So it includes wetlands.
Yeah. The current regulation allows for wetlands to be included in the calculation of density. So the answer to your question is yes. It does include the wetlands.
Okay. There's one clarity on it, I guess. Okay. So based on the density, first of all, I guess addressing specifically Hudson Road, the density on Hudson, or the traffic on Hudson Road has increased dramatically. I've been there 53 years, my whole life, not full time, but so basically my great grandparents lived there from the early 1800s, early 1900s, excuse me. So the traffic has increased, and that's great. It's good for the county, but I think it's increasing to a point of hazard on Hudson Road. You can't access Route 1 traveling east to Hudson Road to go north. You used to be able to do it any time, but now from Thursday through Saturday or through Sunday in the summers, you can't access Route 1 without a backup of 5 or 6 vehicles. So there is a lot of traffic. A lot of people are using Hudson Road as a shortcut from Route 9 across to go north. Just my observation. Next point is, I guess, where we draw the line. I'm not sure how that's calculated, if it's calculated by DENREC, or excuse me, DOT, in terms of the density. But I don't know when we draw the line. The one gentleman mentioned to death, but I think that's going a little too far. I think it's the inconvenience of all the property owners that are already there and the quality of life for even the people that might live in this development eventually. I'll try to keep this short, excuse me. I also know that there are several approved but undeveloped developments already in the area that aren't contributing to density yet. So I know there are other questions that are going to come up. I was a little, excuse me. And my other concerns would be wetlands. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with key property groups' actions with other developments because I live on a farm just down the road. We have 60 acres. And we have a development that was developed by key properties. And I'm not sure if it is their responsibility or your responsibility or the state's responsibility, but there have been issues with wetlands there, specifically regarding a culvert that goes under my private lien. and stormwater is being driven in that private lane, which I have a culvert tile that's over 100 years old, and that wasn't addressed.
We require them to delineate and map the wetlands, mm-hmm. and they have to be shown on their site plan, and they are not allowed to develop in those areas.
In wetlands?
That's right.
Okay. You're talking about my question earlier about wetlands?
You just said that you didn't know if it was our responsibility or whose.
Okay.
So I was just clarifying that we require that any wetlands on site be delineated and mapped, and they are not allowed to build in those areas.
Okay. Well, my point was, excuse me, basically regarding stormwater management and how that wasn't quite...
That's Soil Conservation District, and that comes after a plan is approved or a project is approved. Then they go to the district, and they show them what they want to do, and they come up with a stormwater management plan that meets, as Mr. Bada said in his testimony, the new stormwater management standards designed by DENREC.
Okay. So the next step in this process is, based on your recommendation, it would go to county council?
No, this stops here. This is a straightforward subdivision, so it does not go to county council. Okay. We would decide whether to approve the application or not, and it has other steps to go through. It has, you know, to go to the Soil Conservation District and DelDOT to get their entrance approved and final site plan. They would bring the site plan back to the commission for preliminary, and then we'd bring the site plan back to the commission for final site plan approval.
So that would be part of the final approval. You'd address that first.
Well, you know, all the agencies pile in, so each one has their own silo of responsibility.
But that's required before the final approval.
That's right,
approval.
For final site plan approval.
Okay. And I just have one question about Mr. Bada's testimony or whatever he shared. Mm-hmm. He said that the Beaver Dam Creek would be cleaner, I think. Is that what I heard? Did you hear that?
Well, they have to actually reduce the amount of stormwater runoff. They can't emit any more stormwater runoff than is already going off the property. And that's the reason for the infiltration. That's how I understand DENREC's rules. I'm not a DENREC expert, but DENREC has final say over that, or the Division of Soil and Water and the Soil Conservation District. They will determine whether he complies with that rule or not.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a nice evening.
You had asked about the wetland area. The wetland area delineated is about 8 acres. And then in addition to that, they're required to have a buffer. That buffer is about 3.5 acres. So that's 11.5. And if you take that off your 81, you're still at
70.
Yeah, and you're still less than one lot per acre. So it's well within, you know, what the code allows.
Sure.
So
thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none, does anyone on the commission have any questions?
Ms. Wall? Actually, I do.
Okay.
Just because they made me think about road setbacks and the fact that Hudson Road is becoming. I used to have property on Hudson Road right next to Mr. Wilhelm's property. Mm-hmm. And yes, it has become busier, and that's a road that is going to one day need to be expanded or have shoulders put on it. And it's one of the things that we should be thinking ahead on, asking for a greater setback, so that if it comes up that, you know, it's time to we're gonna do the roads, we don't have to say, we're sorry, nice people, but we're taking your yard. So, Mr. Bada, is that something that your client has considered and would agree to?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the client question.
Well. Hudson Road is probably going to need to be expanded, at least have a shoulder put on it.
I can.
And so would you be amenable to adding more setbacks to the front of your property so that when it's time for that, we don't have to go into somebody's yard to take property?
At the time, DelDOT requested already. DelDOT's big portion of their consideration is engineering and safety.
That's my big consideration, too.
Sorry?
Safety is a big consideration for me, too.
For everybody. And DelDOT is ahead of that. And what they have requested, the minimum we dedicate 20 feet on our side for the entire length of the frontage of the property. So Two things happened. One is since this is a one entrance into the property, we are going to make the island in between, make two separate in and out kind of things, you know. And second thing they done that would like is a bypass lane. People who are going straight, continue going straight. People who need to go make a left in there, continue making a left, provided the oncoming traffic is. And people who are making right out, they can make right out or left out. And they, in order to do that, to determine whether it's safe or not, there are side triangles, is the engineering word for that. They keep that so that, you know, the person who's making a left into the property or out of the property is able to see 300 feet or I don't remember the criteria, it's 250 or 300 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be working on those plans. They will not approve it unless it's safe. So
this is above that. What I'm asking for is property that's dedicated so that nobody's building on it now,
no,
so that if the road is, if and when the road will be expanded at some point, that we don't have to take the bus stop or we don't have to take somebody's yard.
Correct.
To be able to put the road there.
Yeah.
So that you're not building anything there at this time that's already.
No.
Let me ask a question.
Do it. Help me out here.
Yeah, let me ask a question.
Sir.
Has DelDOT asked you for additional right of way?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Beyond what they have now. How
Correct.
Much more right of way did they ask
for? I believe it's they asked us 25 feet on our side.
Right.
And they, once we start drawing it, there might be. There's a left-hand lane into the property,
right.
And there's a bypass lane person who's behind there. He can continue on with it. And this left-hand guy has to sit till the light is clear.
Our concern is just about the fact that at some point in the future, when the entire road is made wider, is that some consideration be given to their setting aside additional right-of-way for that now. It sounds like they've already asked you to do that.
Correct, sir.
Okay.
Correct, sir.
So what is the buffer that they're, because
25. They asked them, they've asked them for another 25 feet
additional
on top of
okay. Top of what exists.
That's pretty hefty.
And then we have our setbacks.
Okay.
From then our setback will be yeah, our setback will be beyond that, right?
Yes.
Because their property line is going to be wherever the new dedicated right-of-way is. So we're from the property line, so that'll push them back.
Right, because there should be their new property line, a 20-foot landscape buffer, and then the house lot.
Right.
And the side triangle will show them that there should be no trees in there. And we will also provide deceleration lane for people coming from that side to make a right in there,
right.
And acceleration lane for the people who are making a right out of there. And in the middle will be a left turn and bypass lane on that side.
You okay?
Okay.
Anyone else have any questions on the commission? Ms. Walls?
None for me, thank you.
Ms. Whitehouse?
No further questions.
Ms. Cornwall?
None, thanks.
Okay, we're going to close the public hearing.
Thank you, sir.
We thank you for coming, and you're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next